Morning. We come to an extremely important and revealing passage in the scriptures this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. So if you turn in your Bibles there with us, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Let's all pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you as always for your word. I pray, Lord, that our eyes would be opened to the dangers and the challenges that we face. I pray that we would learn how to walk in victory. Lord, I pray that we would be equipped by your Spirit. Lord, speak powerfully by your Spirit through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In our text this morning, we get a behind-the-scenes look into the spiritual realm, the invisible world. There are a lot of things happening all around us spiritually. Day by day. And we get a look at it this morning. Look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's very clear from this text that as Christians, we are a people at war. There is a spiritual war raging all around us day by day. And understand, this isn't a little skirmish. This isn't some benign little conflict. This is a street fight. This is a tremendous battle. This is a tremendous struggle. This is war. Notice some of the words that are used here. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. That's a very strong word in the Greek language. It speaks of being able to stand firm, to endure, to persist in the face of a tremendously powerful opposing force. I think of you know, maybe you've seen on TV after a hurricane comes how there's a tree that stood. That one tree or that house that stood that lasted through the hurricane force winds. That's the picture here. It's a battle. It's a very strong force that we stand against. Look at the word that we find in verse 12. We do not, what? Wrestle against flesh and blood. Wrestle, paulo in the Greek, it means real close up. Hand to hand fighting. Mano a mano. To twist is what it means. To shake, to vibrate. It speaks of two powerful soldiers duking it out up close, requiring deftness and speed. Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten in a boxing ring to box. I remember a few of my friends in high school, we did that occasionally. It is the most tiring thing you can imagine. going all out, in close. And then, of course, you have the athletes that wrestle. And in my high school, the wrestlers were the craziest people in school. Some of you are wrestlers. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. I mean you were committed to fitness. Those were the guys that ran from class to class, dressed in Saran wrap, doing all they could do to sweat and even throw up to make their weight. And if you've ever spent any time wrestling, you know how incredibly hard it is and how tiring, and it takes all of the energy. This is the word that's used to speak of the war you're in. And it's all around us. A wrestling, a strong opposition. And I want you to know this morning that if you are a Christian, you are in this war. I don't know if you knew that, but the day you gave your life to Jesus, the day you said, I want to be a Christian, you entered the war. In fact, I think we should warn Christians about that before they get saved, don't you? Hey, we want you to get saved. We want you to give your life to Christ. You need to. Your sins need to be forgiven and washed away. You need to have Jesus as your Savior. You can go to heaven. But let me tell you, let me warn you up front, you are entering a war. Paul the Apostle said to all Christians in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He told young Timothy, fight the good fight. At the end of his life, Paul said, I fought the good fight. It's a battle. It's a fight. If you're a Christian, you're in it. This is a war that you will soon begin to feel after you become a Christian. You know, before you become a Christian, you don't really feel the war because you're on the wrong side. As Corrie ten Boom used to say, Satan wastes no ammunition on those who are dead in trespasses and sins. So before you come to Christ, you're not born again, you're spiritually dead, and you're just sort of floating downstream in the satanic stream. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you become born again, you will begin to feel the fight. Now, there are some Christians who don't take serving the Lord very seriously. They don't follow the Lord. They don't want to make a difference. And if you're that Christian, you won't feel the war quite as strongly as others. But I still want you to understand something this morning. You're in the war, and the enemy is extremely active in your life. You know what he's doing? Keeping you inactive. It's been said that the devil is never too busy to rock the cradle of a sleeping saint. Oh, keep sleeping. Wouldn't want you to be used by God in any way. But if you are following Christ, going hard, you're going to feel it. You're going to be on Satan's radar. It's a very sobering, serious thing to understand and consider. Now, who's our enemy? Let's consider who the enemy is. Well, first, I want you to understand who your enemy is not. Christian, your enemy is not other people. It says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. That's human beings. Christian, your enemy is not other people. Your primary enemy is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. That guy at work who gives you so much hassle because you're a Christian, not your primary enemy. That kid at school that makes fun of you because you're a Christian and you won't join in with all the garbage, not your primary enemy. The professor who gives you lower grades because you write essays based on biblical truth, not your primary enemy. Your ex-wife, not your primary enemy. The atheistic member of the media who tries to make Christians look stupid and outdated, not your primary enemy. The political leaders or the Supreme Court justices that steer a country in a way of wickedness, not your primary enemy. Even the leaders of ISIS who have burned people alive in cages and taken people's heads off on beaches with knives, they are not your primary enemy. Now, does that mean that we just let evil people do whatever they want to do? Absolutely not. We fight against evil people. We stand up. We defend. I believe the Bible speaks about just wars. But understand this. The real enemy, the primary enemy, is the spiritual one. The spiritual invisible forces that are working behind the scenes, driving humanity, influencing humanity toward anti-God, anti-Christian, violent activities. There are spiritual forces at work, influencing people. In some cases, I would say even possessing people, using people. Christian, it's very plain here that your primary enemy is the devil. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of whom? The devil. Your primary enemy is the devil, also known as Satan. He is the primary adversary of God, God's truth, God's people. He's the primary enemy of you. And he's a real being. He's not this cartoon figure who wears the red suit, has the tail, the horns, and the pitchfork, eats deviled eggs and ham, right? Not that guy. You will not find Satan presented in the Bible as a concept, as the personification of all that would be called evil, the symbol of evil. That's what many people believe. Nope, there is a real, powerful devil. In fact, he's the most powerful angel that God ever created. His name was Lucifer. He was the highest ranking angel in heaven, the worship leader of heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, that would be your reference, but you find out that pride was found in Lucifer. He tried to take the place of God. He tried to usurp the place of God. God cast him out. And then he, Lucifer, became Satan, the devil. He is the serpent who deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. Jesus calls him the thief, the murderer, the destroyer. Jesus referred to him as the father of lies. Paul refers to him as the roaring lion, Peter, the roaring lion looking for someone to devour. John describes Satan as the dragon, the beast, the monster. Paul tells us that he's very crafty. Satan can even disguise himself as an angel of light. He is not your friend. He is your enemy. He wants you to join him on his journey to the fiery pits of hell. He wants you dead. If you are a Christian who wants to make a difference, he wants you completely destroyed and neutralized. He's working behind the scenes, creating mayhem and destruction and deception throughout the world. We see his fingerprints behind all the misery and destruction and persecution throughout the globe. Please understand, Satan is not going to be the DJ in heaven or in hell at the rave party where everybody's having a big party and everyone thinks hell's going to be this big party and Satan, he's the ultimate party animal. Absolutely not. He's a monster. And not only him, but a host of spiritual forces, demons. When Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, Revelation tells us that one third of the angels joined him. So now we have Lucifer, Satan, and this army of fallen angels, demonic beings, and they are mentioned in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we have Satan, very powerful, and a whole host of demonic forces. And you see structure here. You see hierarchy, not unlike you would find in the military. Battalions, captains, generals, all surrendered to and committed to doing the bidding of Satan. Notice the first group that's mentioned there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's archaic in the Greek. Most people believe this is referring to the highest ranking demons. The principalities. And most also believe that this is speaking of the highest ranking demons who are in charge of particular regions and territories on the globe. There's an interesting story in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel begins to pray at the beginning of Daniel chapter 10. And he prays for 21 days and fasts. And eventually an angel shows up and says to Daniel, I was sent immediately to you, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of our chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Persia refers to Iran. The idea is that there was an angelic fight between the prince, the primary angelical demon, who was responsible for Persia or Iran, and Michael, the archangel. And there were other kings there, other spirits. There are demonic forces in charge of these places on the earth. I'm sure that guy's still there in Iran, don't you think? Can you imagine the hierarchy, the demonic battalion that's camped out in Washington, D.C.? And that if you could just have your eyes open for a minute and see. I believe there are demons that are responsible for El Paso, Texas. Canetillo. Las Cruces. Juarez. They're out there. I personally even believe that there are demons that have been assigned to local churches. Within cities, within states, within countries, throughout all the continents. Notice the next word that's mentioned there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Powers, exousia in the Greek, speaking of those who have power over a person, those that are able to put into bondage, those who have a power over people's lives. I think this would refer to demons that are in charge of maybe the drug culture, the porn industry, the sex trafficking. The demons that are in charge of poor countries, the caste systems, the false religions. They're all over the place. Against the powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. This third term, rulers, cosmokraton. Like democracy, power to the people, cosmokraton. These are rulers that have hold of this world. And most Bible scholars believe that these kinds of demons are those that have been assigned to the world leaders. That they're the ones behind and influencing all of the leadership in all of the countries. Satan can do that. Demons can do that. I believe Satan possesses. Demons possess some world. Could anybody deny that a guy like Adolf Hitler wasn't influenced by a devil? We read in the Gospels that when Judas Iscariot got up to leave and to go betray Jesus, what happened to him? It says Satan entered him. I even recall the very bad day that Peter had. You remember? Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. And Peter said, no, not you, Lord. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, was he calling Peter Satan? I don't think that was a good memory for Peter. Do you? Yeah, that was the day Jesus called me Satan. He didn't have Satan in him, but the idea is there was a satanic influence behind him. Folks, that's happening all over the world. The last term there, the rulers against the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, it's hard to even understand what those are. Most people believe those demons are your worker bee demons, just out meddling. You understand, the picture here is a vast, dark, well-organized army working behind the scenes. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but it says that at one point as Christians, before we became Christians, we lived according to the power of the prince of the air, the prince of the power of the air. And that's another term for Satan. And I've often thought, he's the power, the prince of the power of the air. What does that mean? It has to mean airwaves. It has to mean, in my mind, media. Satan is in control of the airwaves, the media. Man, the music, the movies, the social media, even the news. Who do you believe anymore? You know, it's interesting that we know that Lucifer was a worship leader. He was the musician of heaven. Do you think he knows what might sound good, what might people might like? And look at how so much music has been perverted and twisted. So this is the picture. This is a huge issue. This is what's going on, and Christian, you need to be aware of it. Now, don't be obsessed with it. You know, a lot of Christians, they know this truth, but they get too obsessed with it, and they begin to see demons everywhere. The demon of bad hair. The demon of bad breath. You know, I mean, there are certain things that you you should not... It's not demonic behavior. And even like your car breaks down. Oh, a demon got in the engine. I want you to be aware of this. But I don't want you to become obsessed with it. Listen very carefully. C.S. Lewis put it best. He said, the worst thing you can do about this is not to believe in the devil. The next worst thing you can do is to believe but be too interested. Don't be focused on all of that, my brother and sister in Christ. Don't be consumed with all of that. Don't be looking for the demon under every rock. You keep looking at Jesus. Give all your attention to Christ. A couple more words I want you to notice here in our text. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. That's the Greek word methodia, to work by method. The following or pursuing of an orderly and technical procedure in the handling of a subject. I point that out just to let you know it's a strategy. When Satan comes against us, it's not random. It's not half-baked. It's thought out. He's crafty. He's clever. He has strategies. I'm sure he does intelligence. He waits to find out what your weakest link is. He has many methods to come against us. He can harass us. He can oppress us. There have been many Christians who have felt an evil presence, and this evil presence tries to instill fear and can be very effective. But listen, don't let that, if that happens to you, and it's happened to many people, many Christians, if that happens to you, don't let that instill fear. Just say, Lord Jesus, take care of this. The demon will leave, and also let that boost your faith. Because in my opinion, when they show themselves to you, that only increases our faith because we know they're real. You know that there is a spiritual battle. But usually, the demons, Satan will come in a much more stealthy way. He'll try to say to you, he'll try to get you to question God's word, God's goodness, God's love. Satan from the beginning has whispered in the ears of people, hath God really said? First thing he said to Eve, has God really said? Is God really good? Satan will try to discourage you. Discouragement is one of the biggest ones. The very word devil means the accuser. Oftentimes Satan will accuse you and whisper in your ear as a Christian and say, you're a wretch and you call yourself a Christian. Can you believe you're a Christian after what you've done? And he tries to accuse and make you feel guilty. And when he does that, remind him of the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away all sin. All sin. Satan would love to get you out of the army because you're not perfect. Newsflash, nobody's perfect. If we all waited till we were perfect to fight, nobody'd fight. We are perfect in the blood of Christ. Of course, the usual temptations that he'll bring your way, the bunny trails. the false doctrine, which he cleverly does by mixing a little bit of falsehood with some truth. He's very crafty. I love what one author said. He said, concerning Satan, he has been honing his methods for millennia. His emissaries visited the church councils at Nicaea and Chalcedon. He sat in on medieval faculty meetings. He's an accomplished philosopher, theologian, and psychologist. He has thousands of years to study. Satan has had multiple millennia to study and master the human disciplines, and when it comes to human subversion, he is the ultimate manipulator. Understand that he's smarter than you. It's strategic. It's crafty. It's clever. I want you to notice also that it speaks of a certain time in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Now, what does that mean? A lot of people think that that means that it's going to be the evil day at the end of history. And we know that as we get closer and closer to the last days, satanic and demonic activity will increase, no doubt. But I think what Paul means here is a very generic day. He's speaking of the evil day that you will one day face as a Christian. If you're a Christian, there's going to be an evil day. Satan will attack you. And when the evil day comes, you need to be ready. You remember when Satan tempted Jesus 40 days and 40 nights? And it says in Luke chapter 4, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I have found in my life as a Christian that the attacks of the enemy, they come in waves. There are these evil times where he throws something at you. And then there's other times where you feel like you're getting relief, but actually, they've just withdrawn to strategize. You need to understand. He's out to ruin us. Over the years, I've come to know that if a big crusade's coming up or some big thing that we're going to do as a church, look out the week before. In fact, if there's only one week that you ever pray for me every year, pray for me over Easter week. Out of 18 years of ministry, there's been 16 Easters where during the very week of Easter, some huge catastrophic thing happened in my life personally or in this church. Like an all-out attack. There will be those times, those waves. Christian, you better be ready. Okay, what do we do? Do we walk out of here scared to death of demons? No. Look what it says. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Christian, listen, be strong in the Lord. Don't take these things on by yourself. They're more powerful than you in your flesh. They're smarter than you. So don't you dare go after them in your own strength. And I get really concerned sometimes when I hear how some Christian pastors talk about how, you know, I rebuke you, devil. You see the preacher on TV stomping up and down on some devil. telling Christians, you run around and you just command devils and demons. Listen, Jude said that even Michael the archangel did not rebuke Satan directly, but instead said, the Lord rebuke you. Hide. Run. Dive behind Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you're covered. You have Jesus. You need to be strong in the Lord. And that first means that you need to be in the Lord. You need to have given your life to Jesus Christ and had your sins washed away. The Bible says when you ask Christ to come into your life, you become a child in the family of God, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And there is no way that demons can occupy the house of a Christian, because the house is occupied by the Holy Spirit. And you think the Holy Spirit's going to let some demon in? Oh, no. You are safe. Will Satan come against you? Yes. Will there be a battle? Yes. But you're safe. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Be strong in the Lord. And in the whole idea of spiritual warfare, you are depending upon God. You're holding on to him. What else are we to do? Well, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. Now, we're going to talk about the different pieces of the armor over the next couple of weeks, but understand, God has given you resources that you are to put on as a Christian that you will stand. So you're to be strong in the Lord, and you are to be every day putting on these resources, making use of these resources that God has given. And you need the full armor. Can you imagine a knight going out into battle and nothing but a helmet? You need every piece. Be strong in the Lord, my brother, my sister in Christ. Make use of what he's given you. And not only are you going to stand, but you're going to make a difference. And you will be protected. Please understand, God is way more powerful than the devil. You know, a lot of people think you have on this side, in this corner, God. And then in this corner, the devil, and like it's this total equal fight. Ain't nothing equal about it. God created Satan. God is way more powerful. And you say, but what about all those demons? Hey, listen, 2/3 of the group stayed loyal. The demons are outnumbered, and Christian, the angels, they've got your back. Be strong. Be confident. Understand, you're protected. The scripture is very, very clear. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and there's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of Jesus Christ and there is the kingdom of the devil. You're in one or the other. Now, if you've given your life to Christ, you are in the kingdom of light. If you have not, you are in the kingdom of darkness. I'd like to invite you this morning to come out of that kingdom. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again that third day. If you ask him to be your Savior, he'll wash away all of your sins and you'll become born again and you'll become a child in his family. And it'll be a fight. But God will give you victory. And ultimately, the big victory's coming, isn't it? Would you bow your head with me and close your eyes? Father, as we just sit here now with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just quietly, in your presence, right now, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would speak to every heart in this room. I'll just ask you straight up, are you safe? Are you safe? Are you in the kingdom of God? Are you in the kingdom of light? Or are you just being tossed along in this cosmic battle that you're not even aware of? Oh, may God open your eyes. Oh, may God open your eyes. If you've never received Christ, I want you to do so right now. There is no other option. He is the only one who loves you and died on the cross for you. You can become a son, a daughter in the family of God. I invite you right now, pray this prayer with me if you've never done so. You invite Jesus right now to be your Savior. Say this prayer: Lord Jesus, I invite you to save me, save my soul. Put me in your kingdom. Rescue me from the kingdom of darkness. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for redeeming me, paying the penalty for me. Come into my heart, fill me with your Spirit. Cover me with your armor. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing a closing song to our Savior. Amen.